When we dance, the journey itself is the point. When we play music, you will simply become completely absorbed in sound. And therefore you will find yourself living in an eternal now in which there is no past and there is no future and there is no thing called difference between yourself and the world of nature outside you.
Welcome to the ThinkSpace podcast with myself, John Staskowski and Danny Massaro, where we discuss human nature and the practical application of philosophy. To find out more about our cohort course and membership community, please head over to www.thinkspace.academy. We hope you enjoy this episode.
This is red. This is green. This is something. This is nothing. This is solid. This is space. Between yourself and the world of nature outside you.
Right, Danny. Yeah, the focus this episode is going to be the topic of, or the theory of, or maybe even the philosophy of bullshit, because it is quite a growing field of research and, you know, philosophers are kind of tinkering with it and playing with it and having a look at it. So it's a legit field of study that we've talked about for ages. I've done a couple of studies on it and written a couple of papers on it, and we've bounced it around between ourselves, and you're not a massive fan of it compared to me, so it might be an interesting chat to have. But just to introduce it, this area of, or this topic really emerged from a guy called Harry Frankfurt, who was a professor at Princeton in America. And he wrote this really short little, tiny little book. I think it's only like 65 pages or something like that. It's a really small little book that he wrote in 1986 called On Bullshit. And he basically introduced this whole area where it's something, it's again one of those words that we all seem to use and we all seem to know what we think we mean when we say it, but no one's ever really studied it or looked into it in any depth. So that's what Harry Frankfurt started to do with this book. And one of the most, this is like the opening line from that book, he says, one of the most salient features of our culture is that there is so much bullshit. Everyone knows this, each of us contributes his share. That's how he opens the book. And it's a really nice little read, it's dead quick. But he does kind of open a can of worms really on what it is and where it comes from and kind of just how it's a part of our communication. So to give us a little bit of a definition, and then I'll turn it over to you, Danny. This is from a guy called Shane Littrell, who I've done a little bit of work with. He's a Canadian guy who I think he was at New York University, but I think he's moved since. It's a little while since I spoke to him. Him and his colleagues define bullshit as information designed to impress, persuade, or otherwise mislead people that is often constructed without concern for truth. So, bullshit, Danny. Initial thoughts.
All right. So the guy who did the little book from Princeton, he hits on a good point, doesn't he? Bullshit is everywhere. So immediately I go, well, okay, so we know that, but why does it work so well in the world, you know? And I was wondering, like, how do you then, you know, does this end up just being a podcast about what is truth? Because you kind of know that anything where it comes to perspective or relative or subjective opinion, it can never be called bullshit or not, because we know one person's bullshit is another person's like answer and solution, you know. So is this just about scientific truth at the very depths of it, or is it more a case of, yeah, bullshit exists, but the more interesting question is, what does it serve and why does it work so well? And do we have to be, therefore, because it is in the world, do we just all have to become very good at bullshit and do using bullshit because it's kind of like, you know, it's just the way the world goes round, you know, rather than attacking it and going as if to be like, oh, bullshit, it's got like, oh, you bullshit, I'm better than you, you're a bullshitter. And it's like, well, before you go saying that about things, we are all susceptible to being fooled and conned and given things, you know, and some of us more than others. What's the actual problem with certain bits of bullshit if the consequences of it are positive? So I think it's a really complicated topic. And where I've taken a bit of sort of umbrage is when people have used the word bullshit as if they're talking about it like it's a bad thing, only a bad thing. And if you could all see through bullshit, you'd have a much better life. Whereas I see it more as it's almost like a necessary part of life that's here that you have to kind of get good at using and sifting through. And the moment that you go, I'm not a bullshitter, you're just lying.
That's a good segue into that distinction. So this is Frankfurt. He kind of asked this question rhetorically in the book and just in his writings, where he asked, is bullshitting worse than lying? So I think we all know, or we all have that sense in our heads, don't we, that a liar is just a bad thing to be, and that lying is bad, and it's just morally wrong. It's just a bad negative thing, isn't it, to lie? I think we all see that, and I think we all, a little bit maybe like you've explained there, we maybe see bullshitting as a little bit less bad, a little bit more fun, a little bit, you know, it's not as important, don't worry about it. It can be lighthearted, bantered, you know, that kind of thing. But Frankfurt was actually asking, well, in a way, is bullshitting not actually worse than lying? So if you think about it, both the liar and the bullshitter are trying to get away with something. They're not telling the truth. Now, a lie, so someone who tells a lie, that's necessarily false. So they know it's false by lying, because you can't really lie unless you know what the truth is.
Yeah.
To kind of lie off the back of it. So the liar knows what's true and what's false, and they are lying if they say something that isn't the truth in that situation. Whereas Frankfurt says that bullshitters, or bullshit can be correct or incorrect, it doesn't matter. So you could bullshit and it might actually be true. Likewise, you could bullshit about something and it might actually be false. So it can be both. Now, what Frankfurt said is bullshitters, and this is why he thought it was worse in a way, they're hiding that lack of commitment to the truth. Whereas at least the liar knows what's true and false, and they're lying and they know what's true. Whereas bullshitters, if they're just indifferent to the truth, they're almost hiding that lack of commitment to the truth. So lying is like a conscious act of deception. You're actively deceiving someone when you lie. Whereas bullshit, he was like, no, that is the essence of bullshit. It's that indifference. It's that you're not really bothered what's true or not. You might not even know what's true or not. In that sense, it's worse than lying.
Okay, so you get like, obviously, there's different complications to that. You end up going, well, what is actual truth?
Yeah.
Which has been talked about for centuries, and as if there is such a thing, and, you know, whatever. But that's a different kind of thing. But what you can say is that there are facts. You can have scientific facts that are probably close to a truth as you can get. So you can say this thing is heavier than this thing in terms of weight. And if someone says, no, this thing is actually heavier than that, it's the other way around, you can weigh it and measure it. And like Karl Popper's falsifiability, because you can measure it and test it, you can prove that that is wrong. Therefore, it's not true. And I think that's the only kind of measurement of, you know, truth, is that the most agreed on is where there are actual almost physical facts that you can say this is this and this is not that, because we've tested it and it's not that. When it comes to things like, I don't know, Santa at the moment, Father Christmas, you go, or religion, right, to make it even bigger, and one person might say, you know, when you die, you die. Another person, no, you come back. Yeah, no, your soul lives on. No. So you have all these different, so who's right or who's wrong? Because it's subjective and you can't prove it. Who's a liar and who's a bullshitter there? Or if I say to, you know, to my niece or something, oh, Santa's coming, I'm lying. I know I'm lying. I'm talking about it. But why am I lying and not bullshitting? Why am I a liar? Because I actually know that Santa doesn't exist in my truth. What's the difference there? He's trying to distinguish between a liar and a bullshitter. I don't know what the difference is.
In that example, you know, well, I mean, there might be a Santa kicking around that we've just never... You know, it might be a thing. But basically, you're lying there.
I'm lying, yeah. But why am I a liar and not a bullshit?
Because you know the truth. That's why you're lying in that. If you didn't know if it was true or not. So in some ways, I suppose, like you gave the example of religion. In some ways, that's more like bullshit, isn't it? Because you don't really know the truth or not. You don't know if God exists or not in a way. And like what? It's like unfalsifiable again, isn't it? How can you know? Or how do you know if you come back after you die or what your soul does? You can't. So you can't even really lie about it. It's bullshit when you don't know the truth. And that's where Frankfurt was saying, because bullshitters ignore that truth instead of acknowledging it or maybe subverting it by lying, for him, he thought bullshit was a greater enemy of truth than lies.
Yeah, so when I tell my niece Santa is coming and he's going to do this or send you a list, am I a bullshitter or am I a liar?
Yeah, I think in that example, you're lying.
Why?
Because you know you're the one who's going to go out and buy the presents. It's not Santa who's going to bring them.
Right. Why is that not... Right, okay. So when a salesman who's selling you vitamins knows that the, you know, or believes that the vitamins help you, they're like... Definitely 2000. I've read a book and they work for a vitamin company. Are they a bullshitter or are they a liar?
I would say that's more like bullshit because, I mean, for example, it might be that...
Because he's still open to debate.
It's maybe you can't, it's impossible to know the truth. So it might be like, actually, yeah, these tablets do work.
Right.
But it's maybe because it was a placebo effect. It wasn't because they had a particular ingredient that has a particular impact inside your body when it's absorbed or something like that. So they might work, but he doesn't know why they work. So he goes, oh, yeah, they'll do this. For and it's, that's more akin to bullshit than lying.
Right. I get it. So a bullshitter believes what they believe and tells you what they believe, even though they don't know for a fact, because they're like, it suits them to pass that information on.
Exactly.
Whereas a liar, it does suit them, but a liar knows for a fact that the vitamins don't work. So they would be selling dud vitamins as vitamin C, say. This is where I don't understand why the bullshit is worse than the liar. Because if I go and meet a pharmacist and or a vitamin salesman and she says to me, take those tablets, and she knows those tablets are duds, right? That's lying. Whereas if she gives me vitamin C tablets and she genuinely believes that they work, whereas science could prove that they don't work, or past, say, I don't know, 10 milligrams a day, you just get pee it out anyway. But no, I've read this book, 10,000 milligrams a day, vitamin C, it's the way forward. I've read the Optimum Nutrition Bible. This is what you've got to do. This is what my guru says. They totally believe that. That's worse than the liar, is it? Like the preacher who just believes in God or something. It's just, that's worse than the person who knows, if they could ever know. Because the liar is aware that they're basically doing you in, whereas the bullshitter is convinced they're not doing you in, which overall leads you down a bad path.
It might not be that they're not convinced. They might not know. This is where it gets philosophical. So the key word is truth, isn't it? But we live in a kind of a society where morally and ethically we perceive or we view truth as a good virtue. So truthfulness and honesty is a good virtue that we should all value and kind of try and stick by.
Yeah,
and that's why it gets philosophical, because I think you obviously come from, let's say, like a coaching perspective, and you might think, right, well, if I tell a player this, or if I convince them of that, and you're bullshitting, you don't know either way, but you say it because you think it might help them.
Yeah.
And it works. In that context, it's good, isn't it? It's like, well, I've got the outcome I wanted them to improve, or I wanted them to like feel better, or you just help them in a particular way.
You're looking good today. I could just be biased and making it up, and you'd be known as someone who always has the talk, the smooth talk, whatever. Or negatively, you could come in and to wake them up. I thought this was this, your warm up were bad, you didn't, you know, your attitude's gone. You're just spinning it, really, to get a reaction.
So it's pragmatic there, isn't it? It works, it has a purpose, and it serves an outcome. So it's quite Machiavellian in that sense, isn't it? Bullshit is kind of that Machiavellian, maybe manipulative, where you can use it to mold people, get inside their head a little bit.
Well, that's where I disagree, that the bullshitter is worse than the liar. I think the liar, I mean, it's obviously we're splitting hairs in many ways, but the distinction between the two and then then whether one's worse than the other, I think that's a first stretch to say one's worse. I do take the point, though, that if you do too much bullshitting and you know, I actually asked Laura before what she thought about the word bullshit, and she said, well, one of the worst bullshits is how you bullshit yourself, right? And you're not honest with yourself. And she's seen that a lot. It's like a self-deception. She sees that in sport. So you're constantly convincing yourself of things. You're bullshitting to yourself. She said that can be a survival thing sometimes, because too much truth is too hard to take. I learned that as a coach early on. I was very pragmatic and would give my sort of harsh truths, really. And I sort of realized that there are different quantities and levels and types of truth that need to be said and need not to be said. And I did. I would pride myself on not saying things I didn't believe in to get some shady kind of payoff. But we are very self-deceptive, and we are very biased, and we don't really know for a fact scientifically that what we say in coaching anyway, and helping people when you have a chat with them, and or even when you're selling an idea or you're selling a product, you know, you're trying to convince somebody of something, even if it's for a good reason, you probably are spinning it a bit. Because you want the outcome you want, and you want the outcome that's good for them. We do, you know, we do that all the time. So we're biased. So once you get into this realm of what bullshit is, it's very murky, because it's like you're really talking about intentions, and you don't really, if you're bullshitting yourself and you're self-deceptive, you end up not even knowing what you're saying. You know, is everything that you say, does it have to be true? And if it has to be true, by a truth to it, how would you measure all the things that we go on? You know, how would you even measure it? So for me, what it comes down to, it really is, it's not, it's like bullshit's in the world. We're all bullshitters. We all lie. There's bad lying and there's bad bullshitting and there's good lies and good bullshit. It's like, how do you get like to the point where your intentions overall with it are more beneficial than detrimental? And I think that's the question with it. How do you use bullshit and lying effectively, but not to the point of detriment? Because I do think if you go down the truth science angle and go, everything has to be dead true. It's like Nietzsche. We love Nietzsche, yeah? And his saying of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? Now, he probably meant that. If you've had your legs chopped off in a freak accident, that doesn't make you stronger. You're not dead. Now, you might go, no, I've got a counter move. It makes your soul stronger and your mind stronger because you come through it. And it's a philosophy that works if you take that forward. And it's all right, well, then you lose two more arms. Oh, yeah, let's carry on again. Another unlucky accident.
Are you bullshitting it?
So suddenly you're going, what are you on about? What kill? Or a more fatty? Totally love your fate. Everything that's ever happened to you, it's part of the tapestry of a beautiful life. And you're like, well, I don't know about that. I mean, it sounds good on paper and it's a nice philosophy, but so what do you call Nietzsche a liar and a bullshitter, even though he's very profound? I think we have to be careful when we start calling out bullshit and lies. That's all I'm saying.
Can you remember though, is it Kant's The Categorical Imperative? Yeah. Immanuel Kant, isn't it? So yes. That whole thing was based around, there's just no way around it. It is a moral good to tell the truth no matter what. And I think his famous example was the axe man, wasn't it? So if someone knocked on your door with an axe,
yeah,
and Laura's upstairs and says, where's Laura? You'd obviously go, oh, she's not in, she's gone to the shop or something. Whereas Kant was like, no, categorical imperative, it's always good to tell the truth no matter the consequences.
Yeah.
And I suppose it emerges from that, doesn't it? It's like, is that genuinely an inherent, just a no holds barred, is always a good thing to tell the truth? Because if you believe that, then bullshit is bad.
Yeah. But there are various things. Well, you know, there's obvious things like Laura is in the house upstairs or she's not. So it's easy. That's a yes or a no. But a lot of the things we talk about in life, we're talking about subjective things rather than easily measurable, quantifiable things. But you're right, you know, that's Jordan Peterson was an interesting one where one of his rules was tell the truth or at least don't lie. If you're kind of self-deceptive and you lie and you're just spinning it and you're just always lying and someone sends you a message and you don't, you know, like, oh, come round for tea. Yeah, I want to see you. And you're like, oh, God, I don't fancy that. I'm just going to lie. I'm just going to say, oh, I'm just, you know, I can't. I'm going out somewhere else. He would say, no, don't say that. Just ring them and say, I actually don't fancy coming round or like tonight. I've just settled. Don't lie. You know, you don't always have to tell the actual truth, but don't lie. I think that's a middle ground there, because I think that if you're just a constant truth machine, you know, you're almost in that high bipolar state of like rock star off your head, kind of no filter. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who has a high bipolar state is telling the actual worldly truth. They're just blurting out their perceptions. So it's like a perceptual truth. So basically, like, you can't take out perspectivism in this as well, that everybody goes around in the world and has a perspective on things and what's going on. You might have a perspective, John, based on who you are and where you come from, all the things we've said, thrownness and how you are, personality, blah, blah, blah. And you have a perspective. And you're dead set that is obviously your truth on certain topics. And you just won't have it any other way. England lost the other night in football in the World Cup. We'll have a perspective exactly what's going on and the history and so on. We're just like that. I'm saying it as it is because that's the truth. They lost because of no leadership, or it always happens. And as soon as if they avoid this truth, if they avoid the fact that they rubbish in big moments and they always bottle it, and if they avoid that truth, and paper over the cracks, they will never improve. Now, we feel like we've been the ones there, if we say that, who have said that, spoken the truth. But we don't know that's true. You know, we don't actually know that. It's just that we're convinced that that's the truth. And we'll dig around for evidence and so on. It's our perspective. So I think on a lot, most things that we talk about around bullshit are really just really real people with solid certain perspectives and biases, and they're so convincing in it that we often fall for it. But in a way, all perspectives are bullshit if you're going by the fact of they're not an absolute scientifically proven falsifiable truth.
So Frankfurt took aim at that as well. So he wasn't really explicit about it, but he's a big... You can tell just within his writing and certain things that he says, he's not a fan of the whole kind of postmodern, there is no truth, it's all relative, you know, everything's subjective, it's your own perspective. And he actually called that himself, or he hinted at that itself being bullshit. So if you just resort to, oh yeah, but it's like, that's your perspective, everyone's got a different lens on the world and blah, blah, blah. He was like, no, if you kind of resort to that over fact, so that kind of relativity and subjectivity, he was like, that's bullshit in a way as well. I think a word that he uses that I quite like is sincerity.
Yeah.
If you're describing that, if you're saying something and you genuinely believe it, so like when you were talking about Southgate and or England and like the reasons for and why not and stuff, if you're sincere in those thoughts or those perspectives, I think that's kind of all right. It might still be bullshit in a way because you don't know for sure, but it's a sincere perspective. It's coming from a genuine place of, right, well, this is what I saw, and based on that, this is what I think. There's a sincerity to it. I think that's a good way to look at it. Like, likewise, when you're helping the player and you maybe go, do you know what, your training's a bit... It might not be. You're saying it because you know you're going to wind them up and get a reaction. There's a sincerity behind it because you sincerely want them to improve and get better. And
what I'm saying is, I get that, and it's integrity. When we learned our NLP, it was like, NLP, the perfect bullshit slime maneuver to con people, or used with integrity, it's an amazingly helpful tool. So sincerity, integrity, but you still have a perspective. So you have a sincere perspective of yourself. Like, I am genuinely doing this, genuinely to help you. And I'm telling you that this is, you know, but it could still be bullshit. No, I genuinely believe God exists. You know, if you take something like wine tasting, like, you know, wine connoisseurs, this wine's worth £500, this one's worth 14. You know, that's the famous one, isn't it? Is it bullshit? Now, I think the thing is, could it be that some beliefs are relatively true while others are absolutely true? And I think the postmodern thing you say, yeah, it's slated when it's taken to the extreme. If there is no actual truth in the world and it's all made up and all perspectives, that's dangerous, because clearly there are, like we were saying earlier, facts and science, and there are things like that Laura isn't in the house or Laura is in the house. We can't go, well, it's just my opinion. Yeah, she's there in that bedroom, but it's just my opinion, she isn't there. You know, that's dangerous. You know, that's where life's a simulation and everything's just made up and we don't even know what's real. Then you're going into sort of like, well, what is reality? Never mind truth. So you can go on and on and on and on with these sort of digging down into this language and questions. But I do think that we all have an outlook, a point of view, a perspective. And we do genuinely believe, for sanity's sake and survival, you know, we're sincere with it. I think when we don't leave room for other perspectives and we bulldoze people with our only approach, so you get obsessed that, you know, you work for Mercedes and it's like, no, this is the best car, this is the best. You work for Tesla, this is the best car, this is the best company, this is the best leader. And you're almost brainwashed, but your integrity in that, you can't, I think that can get a bit dangerous. You know, you can get into a new book or a new philosopher or a new idea, you know, and you're genuinely a new yoga leader or whatever, or a spiritual guru, and you're genuinely, sincerely telling all your friends that this is the way to live. And you're just like, no, it is. It's like, you need to do this breathing, you need to remember this and take a bigger picture perspective on life, or take a Heideggerian perspective. You know, but you could end up, if you're not careful, if you don't realize that even though you're sincere and got a lot of integrity and you're genuinely trying not to bullshit about Eckhart Tolle or about, you know, Tony Robbins or Elon Musk, and this is the man, this is the man, you know, this is phenomenal. You've got to be careful. You've got to be able to still go, yeah, but I'm bullshitting a bit about that because it's my perspective. Like, I know I'm getting carried away with this, but I think bullshitters can be sincere, but still have a negative effect. I think Some bullshitters can be insincere but have a harmless effect, you know, so you just laugh it off. So I think it's always comes down to me rather than, I think it, yeah, there's intentions, but I think it also comes down to the consequences of the information that we might call bullshit or the beliefs. That's how I think. It's almost like, what are the end bottom line consequences? We'll never know that because it reverberates through time. But what are the actual deep consequences of telling my child that Santa existed or that babies came from storks dropping out of the sky? Where's the line where it becomes a bit, you know, it's like 23 years old now, you know. You know what I mean? Like where they've kept, you read books. I remember reading a book called Educated by Tara Westover, the Mormon community. And she was kept in the dark by sincere bullshit about herbs and life by her family till she was about 23. And when she entered back into the real world in a way, or back up for the first time, started rolling in her wings and got educated. That's what the book's about. And she couldn't believe, it was like, oh my God, my parents kept me in this sort of like cocoon of belief till I was this age. All our family was brainwashed into this thing. But it actually wasn't insincere. They genuinely thought that all this stuff was like true. So she was left with this thing of, they messed me up basically for a life and held me back and made our life very difficult, but they didn't mean it. And they were actually convinced that they were doing the right thing, my parents. So she was left with this, well, are they liars? Are they bullshitters? Are they nasty? Are they good? I think that's the thing. It's like, well, the ultimate bottom line consequences you would judge the parenting on, well, she ended up very depressed or, you know, I think it's a hard topic when you're looking at consequences and intentions.
I want to come back to receptivity shortly because I think that's important to what you said, but this may be a good place to mention this. Let's call them two types of bullshitting, and then you can maybe think, well, how do they differ in that scenario with the parents? So
right.
Persuasive bullshitting, that's one type, and this involves attempts to basically impress, persuade, or fit in with others by exaggerating, embellishing, or otherwise stretching the truth about one's knowledge, ideas, attitudes, skills, or competence.
Right.
That would be persuasive bullshitting. And the other main type is evasive bullshitting. You employ evasive bullshitting when responding to inquiries where direct answers might incur negative social costs for oneself or others. So two examples of them I think of recently, if anyone's got the finger on the pulse of like health, online health and stuff, Liver King has been like a really famous guy lately who was living this ancestral lifestyle and he's just like unbelievable physique. I think he was in his late 40s, sells a load of supplements and stuff. And basically the question was he on performance enhancing drugs or not? And he swore blind he wasn't. And anyway, he got exposed recently and it came out he's been roiding it up to the gills basically. So he's had to like come out and confess and stuff. And I think that was a great example where a lot of what he did was just persuasive bullshitting. So a lot of it was around like exaggerating, embellishing. You know, so he's basically embellishing how effective the diet that he eats was, how effective the training regime that he did was. Obviously, he's had to work and he's put in the graft. You don't get a body like that just by taking a bit of testosterone or something. But he's certainly stretching the truth around his competence and his skills and all that, because he's trying to get people to buy into his brand and like do what he does, copy his lifestyle, buy his products. That for me is persuasive bullshitting around a lot of that stuff. Evasive bullshitting, that's maybe more your classic politician, where you see it all the time in like press conferences. They'll get asked a question and they know that if they answer it directly with like a yes or a no, there's consequences, and usually it's because they're going to be bad. So whether it's for them or for the political party or a policy that they're trying to roll out, whatever it is, so you'll see a lot of evasive bullshit in there. Now I did a study with a few colleagues where we looked at this stuff with people in sport, so like coaches, athletes, sports science staff, like the whole gamut of people. And I think there's about 300 people in there. And we found that evasive bullshitting was much more common than persuasive bullshitting in sport, at least, or at least in that sample. So for some reason, people in sport tend to use more evasive bullshitting and they admit to using it, you know, so where if they give a direct answer, they know that they could incur a negative social cost. So I don't know what your thoughts are, why that might be, or just how both of those differ, because I often would think it would be the other way around.
In my experience, just firstly, the guy, the liver man fella, or whatever he was called.
Liver King.
Liver King. There's a Tiger King, the Liver King, bloody hell. He was a liar because he was lying about the steroids, and he was a bullshit. He was a persuasive bullshitter.
He was bullshitting about the other stuff. Yeah.
Then if we'd have asked him whether he was taking steroids and he kept moving the subject somewhere else, he'd be an evasive bullshitter as well.
No, well, he just flat out lied about that. So he was asked on loads and loads of interviews and podcasts.
All right. So he didn't even bother with evasive bullshit. He just would say, I'll answer your question. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of people do, don't they? To stop having to keep answering, they'll just lie.
Lance Armstrong back in the day. Classic.
Yeah. They don't even need to be evasive because it's just a fact. I am not. He just lied. Yeah.
But he was trying to persuade with his other bullshit.
Yeah.
That the real reasons is this jacked, like, 46-year-old unit is that.
I think where we can take this discussion for the listeners, for me, is how do we help them deal with persuasive bullshit a bit better and spot it, because it's biased over the top. You know what I mean? Now, I've kind of established in my own mind, you know, it's hard to pin it down to an exact thing, but let's move it on to. So, okay, let's take it at face value. Let's simplify it. Let's not make it too complex. Yeah, people lie. They bullshit. They exaggerate. They sell you things. How do you protect yourself from that a bit more? Because the world's full of it, particularly in marketing and people and so on. But for me, in the coaching bit, it doesn't surprise me at all that evasive bullshit is higher than persuasive bullshit, because the best coaches I've seen, which are rare, are very, I would say, low, very low in evasive bullshit. So the best coaches that I've ever personally been around, the ones I've sort of lived with and watched and picked up on and, you know, not really researched, but been with, they're straight talking. They're just bang. They're not frightened of upsetting people. They don't want to upset people, but they'll just give it. They'll just say, well, you lost that match because of that. Or, yeah, well, I get it. But at the end of the day, if you'd have done that differently, you probably would have won. Or they'll say, no, you lost there. The better player won. Go and congratulate them. You were out of their depth. And players are almost starting to bullshit themselves with excuses and stories and, you know, like we do for protection, why the world's been hard on us. And I think a really good coach, without being like, you know, I'm not talking about the nasty, aggressive, angry. They don't necessarily do it angrily. They'll just go, well, in my opinion, having my experience watching that match there, which preempts that they are probably, is their opinion and they have a perspective, but it's based on experience. So it is debatable what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not bullshit or not, it's truth. I'm just giving you, in my experience of being around here, and I know I'm emotional at the moment, but maybe we'll talk about it in 2 days and we'll analyse it a bit more to get a different angle. But right now, you lost that match because you went soft, or you lost that match there because the other person raised it. There was nothing to do with what you did, and I've seen it before. You've just come up against a good player, unlucky. And they go, pumph. They'll give you an opinion straight away. They're so confident they don't need to be evasive, and they're so confident they don't need to press it home, like, and join in with the excuses. Now, sometimes as well, if there is bad refereeing and there is a genuine bit of bad luck, they'll also say that. I agree, the referee was awful and the referee lost you that match. However, next time they'll do it again, so how are we going to react? So again, it's like, it doesn't surprise me that in your common population of sports people that need to keep the job and want to be seen as not too disruptive and who don't have the confidence, it's not surprising that when the heat comes on, they evade, they don't have the confidence to express, like, this is what happened. I've done that to people and they won't speak to me for weeks. They go, thank you, but it's hurt them too much, right? They don't want to know it. And then I've done that with some people, when you really get close, you don't have to say those things sometimes unless they really ask you flat out. And then in the best relationships, they will ask you because they don't want to keep bullshit. They want to know, and they trust your truth because you're genuinely, you're not frightened. So you're not evasive. You will say it how you feel. And they will take that as your opinion, not necessarily the actual truth. And maybe they'll go to other people they trust and take their opinion and come to a sort of consensus within themselves. So the player has to be self-reliant, ultimately, and come up with their own version of what they felt was truth, because they were the ones that actually played the match. But it doesn't, you know, so they've got the best, in some ways, best input. And I think that when people are evasive, you can be evasive with yourself, can't you? and lied to his bad faith, Sartre. And so it doesn't surprise me that that came up high rather than persuasive bullshit.
Just to help people then, because you mentioned, like, let's bring it on to, like, what can we do with it? So another thing that we mentioned in that, or measured in that study, is bullshit receptivity. So how receptive people in sport are to bullshit. And there's some quite interesting, there's quite a lot of papers out there on this now where they've explored this. And one of the things that you can use to measure it is basically how profound people will find certain statement. And there was, I think I've showed you it before, there's like a Deepak Chopra bullshit generator, basically, where anyone who knows Deepak Chopra, it's like really kind of self-help guru vibe, isn't it? And he'll often have these quotes that don't really make much sense whatsoever. They look like a sentence and they look like the kind of words that would make sense together, but they don't have any meaning whatsoever. And so I think some guy actually devised this web tool that you could just spin it and it would just generate, uses words that he's used in his book, and it'll combine them into a random sentence. Now, we actually use some of these in this study where you show them to people and you basically just go, right, like, how profound would you rate this out of 5, I think it was, like a 5-point scale. And you mix them in with like genuine motivational type quotes that do actually have a bit of a underpinning meaning to them. So some of the, like, the pseudo profound ones are things like, hidden meaning transforms unparalleled abstract beauty.
Yeah.
So it sounds kind of profound. It's like, oh, but really it's just bullshit. It's just random words put together to look like they make synaptic sense. And you basically get ask people, well, how profound do you think this? And then you mix it with the motivational stuff, which, like I say, might be stuff like, your teacher can open the door, but you must enter it yourself. Or it's like the classic one is, a river cuts through rock, not because of its power, but its persistence.
Right.
Yeah. So they make sense. They're actual. There is some meaning to them as an actual motivational statement. So again, we got these same people to do that. So if you think a scale from 0 to 5, like not at all profound to like extremely profound, and we found the average profundity was 2.44.
Right.
So a lot of people in that sample found a lot of those bullshit statements quite profound. And we worked out, you can work out like a bullshit sensitivity score, essentially, from a few of these different statistics. And it'd be like, 0 is you're just totally unable to distinguish bullshit whatsoever. And 4 is like, you've got an exceptional ability to spot bullshit and distinguish bullshit.
Right.
And the average sensitivity was 0.75. So way nearer to cannot distinguish bullshit. So that was kind of the worry that we kind of said in this paper, that you've got a lot of people there that are actually really quite receptive, or it looks like they are, to bullshit. So for me, like when you said, well, how can we, it's like, how do we then make people less susceptible or less receptive? Because if you're saying bullshit's out there, it's just a part of what we do, it's a part of communication, it's a human thing, how can you become less receptive to it and a bit more just conscious of when someone is bullshitting you and not?
Yeah, I mean, what is interesting about that is that it's like, bullshit works, right?
Yeah.
We are affected by it, so bullshit works. And that's the problem, is it? It works. Because, and why does it work? Because it's so difficult to distinguish anything that is true when you're talking about things like life and existence and persistence. You know, you can send pictures to people. People can listen to songs, look at art, and they go, oh my God, that painting changed my life. I need to take that poem with me wherever I go. It speaks to me. And you're like, well, it's bullshit. Someone made it up in AI, or it's just like the guy who made it, he was actually, you know, I know it was William Blake, but at the time he was on drugs and it was his reject piece that someone pieced together back to front. And you know what? You've got low bullshit receptivity, you idiot, right? And it's like, well, no, to that person, that poem that's been hung on the wall or they carry in the purse has just meant a lot. So what's real? This is what I mean about the actual consequence of the comment. And this is the trouble when you, no disrespect to you guys, but when you've gone to try and measure bullshit, you've ended up basically not finding anything out, because apart from, in my opinion there, people find it hard to spot bullshit. Which is like, yeah, of course we do. So like someone would, you could look at your attempt to even measure that with these quotes and go, oh, what a load of bullshit that was to do even, you know, think about it, don't you? You go, what were we trying to do? But at the time, when you actually did it, it had a lot of meaning for you personally and made you think, right. So this isn't going back full relativistic perspective again, but so I think the way I would prefer to see it is go, oh my God, I am as like every other person out there, as susceptible to bullshit as anyone. So what can I do? Well, maybe what I can do is think twice when I read something. Maybe I used to read a book and go head over heels with it. I think what happens with bullshit in some ways, if you will, it's a bit like the neurochemistry in your mind as well. If you read something or watch something that you understand, you get high. So if you read a quote and you can go, what that quote, and it sounds profound, or someone who's supposed to be a really high on the hierarchy in that area, like an author or a researcher or a doctor. So because I'm a doctor now, you know, with the PhD, and if I say now, it's the Wizard of Oz thing, isn't it? You know, if I say to someone, listen, I'm a doctor of philosophy, and come up with some strange philosophical statement to a player, they're going to go, yeah, thanks, Danny, I understand that. Just the fact that they can understand me, and I could even say, yeah, a famous philosopher said this, I won't tell you who, but, you know, I could go, well, it was me, as a joke, but leave it with them, eliminate the fact. So I'm bullshitting, or lying. They then go, oh, like, I understand that. They're susceptible to it. So I always think when you understand something mentally and it goes in really quick, you fall in love with it. You can read a novel and you're like, I'm getting this, or an argument in anything. And it's almost like you might disagree with it, but you believe in it in a way. You believe in the way it's been argued because your brain's understanding it and it makes you feel clever. So you're seduced by the fact that it's going in your head. You're like, it's making you feel clever. So I think that's the thing with bullshit. I think a lot of it is seduction. I think what we're easily seduced. You are, definitely. I know that. I am, definitely. We'll read a new philosopher or a link or a new page. Because we get it straight away, or we hear a podcast, we're like, oh, philosopher of the year, this person, or best. And all you can see in your world for the next week is Simone Weil or Heidegger or whatever. Because you're seduced by it. So, but it could be bullshit. So I think the thing is like, before you get sold things, before you get conned, before you get sold, unless you like that and you want to be, and you kind of relax and allow to be, you like to be bullshitted and played along a bit, which is harmless stuff. I think it's about thinking twice before you go diving in. So I studied, for example, personality profiling, the Enneagram, and at the time loved it, thought it was amazing. And it actually really helped me and my wife and a lot of people as our relationship. It helped individually, it helped coaching. And then after a while, I was a bit like, is this as true as I thought? Or are we just sort of making it up? You know, are we just sort of like biased and seeing things that aren't there because, you know, like star signs? Is it just the same as star signs? Personality profiling and all this? No, it's not. And then you leave it alone and go somewhere else, come back to it, look at it, and you're a little bit more suspicious of it, that it's not as true as you thought it was, but it's still useful. And I think that's the thing. You've got to be uncomfortable with the fact that it could be right, it could be the answer, and it could not. I bought loads of vitamins this week based on some medical blood results. And I'm like, really? Are they really going to help me? Or have I just been sold by some unbelievable marketing from some random... It suits me to get it anyway. I probably know it's not 100% true. It could be 50%. Whatever works. What's the worst thing that can happen? Might as well take it. It's not going to skint me because I can afford it. Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? They're probably bullshitting me a bit because they don't know for a fact that that's going to make me well. But I've gone into it with my eyes open, let's say. And I think rather than that having some sort of anti-bullshit score, you know, I think because as well, I could be fooled and bullshitted blindly by a magician or by a marketing person or by a sneaky person who's so sophisticated at bullshit and lying that I would never see it coming. But in this area of my life, I can spot it quite well. So we all have blind spots. And this is the art, isn't it, of seduction and all these psychology and all these things. Fooling the person that think they can't be fooled is easy. You know, I'm amazing at spotting bullshit. And well, there's always a way through. So that's how I see. But, you know, in basic terms, it's just keep yourself on your toes and don't be too paranoid as well that everything's bullshit. Because it's nice, isn't it? Some jokes and stories and buying things because you thought and laughing at yourself. But again, if it gets detrimental and addictive and really bad bottom line things, and I don't, you know, you've got to like rein it in and get awake.
It's definitely raising awareness of it and just being like you say, for me it is, it's like that second, having a second thought, not just taking stuff at face value, which is kind of obvious in a way, but a lot of people don't do that, do they? They're just like blown away by whether it's an expert or it's like whoever. But it does, like a lot of the research does show that, so those guys have gone into a lot deeper than we did. People who score higher on bullshit receptivity tend to be way more susceptible to like conspiracy theories, you know, like fake news, misinformation, all that stuff. So it is like one of those things, if you're not aware of it, it can be causing you issues. But definitely, like, this is a human thing, we're all bullshitters. But I think it's better to be aware you're doing it than just in this dream world of like, you know, like you were saying, Laura said about bullshitting yourself, because you can end up believing your own bullshit, and before you know it, you're like six layers deep and you don't really know what's true anymore and what you did think about that, and then whether you did do this or not. And it's, you end up chasing your tail trying to keep up with all the bullshit that you've been spinning to kind of survive.
One tip that I think is good is find a friend who will straight talk with you.
Yeah.
You know, me and you are like that, aren't we? We have some really good straight like disagreements in a way, but not what you would normally think of. We'd just say, well, I think this, well, I think this, well, you're wrong with that. Well, I'm not, we're a bit like we're doing here in something. And I think if you've got a mate who can call you out on things and just say it, and you don't take it personally, and you actually enjoy and you like the fact that they will, you'll go, what do you genuinely, honestly think about this? And they say it, you know that that's them just giving their opinion and it's not the total truth. As long as they're not acting the role of the truthful one, you know, that can be another thing that, oh, you know me, I always say it as it. So they're always looking to say the opposite thing just to be the awkward type, you know, that's not it. Because so again, you genuinely can go to some people who can call you out on a few things, and it hurts. When someone goes, no, it's this and it's that, it hits you in your heart or your chest. It's like, oh. Because it's like a block, because you're going along in bullshit flow, and it's easy, isn't it? As soon as someone brings a bit of alertness to that and says it, no matter how wise you think you are, it does make you like, ugh. And sometimes you can snap. You know, if you're emotionally off, we can all snap, you know. So if you're stressed in that moment, you just go bang, snap. 10, 20 seconds later, you can go, snapped at that, what were I doing? But still dig in and fight your case for a day and then just apologize. But basically, like, when someone can give it to you, like, a bit more, like, this is genuinely, I think that's a bit of crap. I've read around that topic myself, or I used to think this. And then sometimes I've got another friend on the opposite. You've got one of those friends or two of those people, but then you need some other friends that just say, well, you know, you don't know. Find out for yourself. As long as you don't go off on some silly, massive financial expedition, you know, why don't you just, you read those books. You go and read those. You listen to that person. I don't think they're very good. I think they're full of shit. But you do it for yourself. You go on, because it could help you. Not for me. You're not aggressive and like, don't do it. But you'll say it as it is and then just leave it with them. Or you might even, but you need some other friends that sort of like, I don't know, might even drag you along to some things to open up your eyes. But all along, it's Emerson's self-reliance, isn't it? It's like, you've always got to kind of go back in, what makes me tick? And kind of like, and I also think as well, don't be embarrassed to be fallen for stuff for 3 years and then find some counter evidence and go, oh my God, what have I done for 3 years? It was a load of bullshit. Or I bought that bed because they said it was this and that, and I spent $3,000 on it, or a mattress and all this wine, and it was a ripoff, and a car, it was Peckham Spring. You know, it wasn't real water.
You've been drinking your 400 quid wine and your $3,000 mattress, haven't you?
Yeah. Like, we have a gin cabinet full of brilliant, all these exotic gins and things that Laura loves and she was into it. And Boiler Man come round the other day and he's like, bullshit, nothing wrong with bloody old, you know, Tanqueray, and there's a lot of con. Gin's a gin. Go to Lidl and Aldi and they'll do you one for 15 quid, it's a gin. And you're like, yeah, all right, Rob, that's you, which I really like about him, you know, he's down to earth and says it as he wants to say it. But there is a counter to that, though. Actually, in our opinion, they do taste better, and we've tried a few, you know. But there is a bit of truth to what he's saying as well. And what I mean is then, therefore, well, do you stop buying all these fancy gins? Because, yeah, all right, you might be getting ripped off, but there's something about buying them, purchasing them, collecting them, that's more than just whether or not it's actually a better quality gin. There's something more to the wine taste. Do you know what I mean? If you're part of a bullshit scene, there's other benefits to that rather than it's just a load of shit. You know, hitting a golf ball around the golf course is just absolute bullshit, but we love it.
This is maybe like for me where it's a good place to end it. That's where, like what you just said there, I think that ties back into the bad faith stuff. So I think bullshit becomes a bit of a mechanism for people to be in bad faith, like the whole Sartre's thing again, if people go back to listen to that episode, where it's part of the role, isn't it? So certain roles have certain lingos and just certain ways of being.
Yeah.
And you put that uniform on and you now you can just, you're happy to bullshit and just be bullshitted sometimes, but the other people in that sphere that are also bullshitting you, because you're all in bad faith and you just kind of act in these roles and you just accept it. It's like, yeah, I kind of, when I get home and take the uniform off, I know that we were all just talking shit all day.
Yeah.
But you kind of accept it, and it's kind of that bad faith again where you maybe just let people away with stuff where you maybe wouldn't if it was you and your mate sat in your house, but if he was at work with his workmate and they're chatting about, he just lets people away with it because it's just part of the...
Yeah, it's like ceremonial things at a golf club, isn't it? There's the ladies' vice captain's car position. That she's on the board. This is the this. This is... And you look at it from a distance, you're like, what are them lot going on about? You know, it was a graduation yesterday and all the ceremonial pomp and put... You just go, well, it's just a massive... It's just ceremonial and stupid. Or you can look at it and go, yeah, but these people are finding a lot of meaning from it. They're actually... It's kind of nice. So you can always look at things from a like a bit of a cold, scientific, brutal, it's bullshit. But if it's having this, if it's a game that you're playing and you kind of know, then it's, if it's harmless and it's quite in some ways meaningful, then there's nothing too much wrong with that. Then it's also, if you start pulling down, if you start accusing everybody of falling for bullshit here, there, and there, then you can make life dull and black and white, and it just ends up some flat land of science. You take the colour and magic away and the wonderment and mystery. You know, I love watching all those, old films around Jesus and myths and Greek stories and Jason and the Argonauts or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and all these types of...
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No, but you know, it's like...
That's never been put next to Jason and the Argonauts.
But it's, you escape for a bit and you're conned and fooled and, you know, rather than just someone could come in and go, oh, bloody, look at that, you know, it's rubbish and you should watch a proper science documentary and it's not... So... You don't want to become that person who's just to that. But I do, on a really simple level, with marketing, and especially in sports, there is a lot of stuff out there where they're just selling you shit and they know they are doing it and they're ripping you off. Or they're spinning your lies and they're just keeping their own jobs and telling you what you want to hear. And I suppose you can only get a sense as you navigate through your levels of your life about who's pretty straight with you as best as they can be and who's really full of it. And so for me, it is about like navigating your own life and because it's always coming at you in different forms. You're part of it yourself and people are trying to spin it on you a lot and lying as well and things. So I suppose it's just keeping on your toes without getting paranoid and still leaving room for fun and to go with some of the crap and bullshit, you know, join in. But if it gets detrimental and bad, then you have to like be able to like stop it and have that wisdom to go, that's enough now, that's enough of that. I'm stopping with all that sort of purchasing that they've told me is going to make me happy. You know, I'm moving on from that.
Right, should we stop there then?
Yeah.
What a load of shit. Yeah, so one thing that we thought we would add on at the end there that we forgot to mention, one thing that Frankfurt says in his work and why he kind of justifies that there is so much bullshit in the world is that especially in the modern day, in the internet era where we've got access to so much information and so much knowledge and we get exposed to so much stuff. What Frankfurt was saying was that because of that, we feel like we have to have an opinion on everything. So if someone asks you a question, like, what do you think about this, Danny? What's your thoughts on that? Like we were saying earlier in the podcast about the England game, you feel compelled to have an opinion. And that's why Frankfurt thought there was so much bullshit. You can't just, it's not trendy or it's not seen as a positive thing if you say, I don't know. Especially like when you see it in politicians, for example, yeah. They're negatively viewed if they say they don't know. You have to have an opinion. Now, if you don't know, you've maybe never seen anything, you've maybe never come across it before, and someone says, oh, what do you reckon about that, Danny? You feel compelled to give your opinion. So that means often you'll just bullshit because you'll say something that you kind of think that you don't really know, but it gives you something to say. And Frankfurt thought that was why there is so much bullshit in the modern era.
Yeah, I see that a lot on like with people who like there are a lot of people who are politicians, aren't they, on Twitter and things like that. I don't really do any of the other stuff, but see it on Twitter, people suddenly they have to have an opinion about the news and everything that's going on. Where I'm asked about sports sometimes and results, I sort of have my sort of sports coaching psychology head on and chipping with things that I think are true. But yeah, I don't really speak about politics or anything. I wouldn't really know about that. You know, I don't really have anything interesting to say on it because I don't know. That takes a bit of confidence, doesn't it, to sort of know your limits. Whereas, yeah, a bullshitter, yeah, actually, when you think about it, you get around them and they know everything about everything, don't they? You know, they're like, they always have an opinion on everything. You're thinking, we can't possibly. So it's like they've not only is it bullshit that they probably never studied anything very, very narrowly and deeply, so they've never found out that actually things are very complex when you go right down into them. So you just keep your mouth shut a bit, you know, until you have an opinion. So everything's just filled with basically like this, without knowing that, everything's just filled with conjecture and opinion that they tell you convincingly or raising their voice or with emotion, and they tell you as facts.
So maybe that's what we need to do. That's the tip for people. We need to bring that back. People being comfortable and confident enough to just go, do you know what? I've never really thought about that. Or, yeah, well, I saw this on the news the other night, but do you know what? I've not thought about it too much. I'm not quite sure. I don't really know. That's what you need more of, innit?
You could almost go, for conversational sake, you could almost go, yeah, you know, well, I kind of like them. I've always followed that party and I didn't really agree with that thing they said the other day. To me, they looked a bit stupid. But yeah, what do I don't really know, do we? Yeah. But oh, well, you know, just you say it like that rather than thinking, yeah, you always have to have an opinion on everything. Yeah, you definitely feel better when you're like that. And you definitely feel better. I've there's times where I've felt compelled to have to say things and you're making shit up as you're going along. It's a horrible feeling.
You know, when you start, often that might be, say, for example, I don't know, I'm thinking, say, like you give a conference presentation.
Yeah.
And you know your stuff and you give your thing, bosh. You're on the stage and then someone asks you a question about something kind of out of your wheelhouse that's a little bit not really related.
Yeah.
That takes a big kind of personality to go, do you know what? I'm not sure. When you're on a stage and you've been paid to be there and you're in front of people and they're looking at you for an answer. So I think even then you kind of, and you know, it's like you start and then you think, oh God, why did I even begin? Because you're on the roller.
I think that's where a sense of humour is important. You have to be able to laugh at yourself. And if you already kind of know that you don't know everything about the topic you're talking about or about everything else.
Yeah.
You can say things like confidently, and then when challenged or proven wrong, you know, or broken down a bit, you can go, well, you don't have to get so defensive, and you come up with an answer and go, yeah, that's a great point. You'll have to think about that. That's hard when you're trying to sell an argument to the point of conviction for the whole crowd because you're trying to flog a product or an idea or get a job. It's kind of hard to leave the audience divided whether or not you've found some sort of solution or like, oh, okay, I did all that work just to get to three more potential questions. So no, I'm the person who can fix it and solve it. You listen to me, bud, and you won't go wrong in life if I've got all. You know, it's hard to say I don't know, isn't it? You know, I don't know doesn't sell very well,
and it's seen as a cop out. So you know when you see politicians where they do, certainly in this country, you know where they get them in front of those committees, and it'll be like 12 MPs and that one guy sat there and they're like hammering them with questions.
Yeah.
And you'll see them sometimes say, well, what was the thing on this? Why did you do that? And they'll often say, I'll have to get back to you on that. I'll write to you.
Yeah.
And you can see they're just like, no, that's a cop out. You're just like, you're weaseling out of it. Give us an answer. But they might genuinely not know. I mean, they could be copping out, but they might not genuinely know the answer. But that's seen as like a weakness.
It'd be good, wouldn't it, if they'd have asked Boris Johnson, what do you think of these stats and that? And he just gone, I have to admit, I don't know. I've not read the paper. I should have done. Been busy, and you know, because it's not. That's not allowed, because it's. You'd almost respect that more,
yeah,
wouldn't you? And go, oh, fair play to the guy. I know how he feels. I was busy this morning, and he's like, no, we can't. He's the prime minister. He's on £1 million. He shouldn't be like that. It's a disgrace. You know, so everybody, you can't blame a lot of the politicians for having to smudge and evade because of the way that the world we now live in. Maybe there's no coincidence between the media and the way that it can get slated, and maybe their fear of saying anything wrong, so they just evade all the time. So that's another area, isn't it? You know, if you say your truth or what your version, what you really think a lot of the time nowadays with the woke to things, you can get in a lot of trouble, which was Jordan Peterson's original thing, wasn't it? Of like, we've got to watch it here because people are going to be frightened to talk about anything. But again, there has to be an element of, if I do say that, it is only my joke, or it's only an opinion. But we seem to have lost that. We've lost that ability to allow people to have perspectives and then just hold it there. It's almost like we're all driving towards an actual factual truth about everything. And if you're not there, you're lying and so on. So you can't blame people for almost learning the skill of how to spin stuff. Just saying, I don't know. Like I say, it's not in fashion, is it?
We need to bring that back. Then that's the new. It depends. I don't know. Right, we're definitely stopping there.
Yeah.
When we dance, the journey itself is the point. When we play music, you will simply become completely absorbed in sound, and therefore you will find yourself living in an eternal now, in which there is no past, and there is no future, and there is no thing called difference between yourself and the world of nature outside you. This is red. This is green. This is something. This is nothing. This is solid. This is space. Between yourself and the world of nature outside you.